Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down, so throw down. Throw down. Well, throw down. Throw down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt munch. Also appearing at the Farm Club, thefarmclub.net. The Farm Club, sit on your farm and club. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will. Insert creative name here, Will Rabb. How are we doing this afternoon, Rabb?
So I see you spent the entire week working on slogans for the Farm Club. Yes. And not coming up with my name. But that's okay. I'll give you a pass on that because you've been doing morning news.
Yes, yes. I was off today. We're recording this on Thursday, August 15th, 2013, the year of our Lord, Owen Hart. And yesterday was a Wednesday, day before that, Tuesday, day before that, shockingly a Monday. In the span of those 3 days, I put in 30 hours. So Landon be toured a little bit.
Yeah, like I forgot you weren't working today because I came in, I saw a piece of wrestling news that I wanted to, hot news that I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And
a little bit of news happened.
Dave
today.
Folk was there, and then I realized Dave doesn't care about wrestling.
Well, that's not true. Dave does like wrestling, but I don't think he cares about it in the modern sense of wrestling.
Or about who may or may not have made an announcement about their personal life in wrestling.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and mention this at the top. We're not really going to get into this because that really wasn't the show we were planning for. But
kind of hard to ignore.
It really is. TMZ, of all places, is reporting that Darren Young, part of the primetime players.
Millions of dollars.
Yes, millions of dollars. As the audience in the Palacious Butt Munch Chip Studios does the PTP dance. Apparently, he told TMZ that he's gay.
Did you watch the video, though?
I have not watched the video.
Obviously, at some point, there'll be an official statement from the WWE and everything.
Yes.
If he's gay, or they'll figure it out. But the guy goes, in his really bad British accent, so I'm going to do it. My bad British Australian. Hey, so, mate. That's what this job of working for TMZ sounds like.
Who taught you your British accent? Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins?
Yes.
Good God.
I'm not good at impressions.
Hello.
Hello, Governor.
Jesus.
But the guy has to go, so I've always wondered in like the MMA and boxing and wrestling world, if there could be like a mainstream gay person, if that would be accepted, if they would be accepted. He goes, well, look at me. I'll just be honest with you. I'm gay, and I'm very, very happy.
Hmm.
And that's not a quote. That's not verbatim, but that's...
You're just summarizing.
I'm summarizing the would they be accept? Would someone who's gay be accepted, and would in wrestling, in mixed martial arts, in that world that's the tough guy world?
Yeah.
And he said, "I'll just be honest with you. I'm gay, and I'm very, very happy."
Well, okay.
I think if he was wanting to troll TMZ and he wasn't actually gay, he could answer that question without having to say he was gay. He could just say, yeah, I think it would be okay if he didn't want to come out.
Fair enough. If Darren Young is gay, more power to him. Standing ovation. But at the same time, it's like, I also had this reaction, you remember, a couple months ago when Jason Collins came out, an NBA player, as the first actively gay player in the NBA. I was like, why is this news? Dude's gay. So what?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
If you want to be gay, be gay. If you want to be straight, be straight. If you want to be somewhere in between, be somewhere in between.
I guess it's kind of, it's a big deal because he's the first guy on the active roster in the WWE.
Yeah.
Because Canyon is gay.
Yes, yes. Chris Canyon came out as gay after he was no longer active in the WWE.
And Orlando Jordan.
He's at least bisexual.
He's bisexual.
He's admitted that.
He even played that character, used that on TNA television.
Yes. Yeah, so he had Dayglow lotion squirted on his chest a couple times because that's a character. Wow.
So there have been wrestlers... Pat Patterson, right?
Yes, WWE Hall of Famer Pat Patterson is a gay man.
There have been other wrestlers, but it's the first guy on the active roster to just say it.
Yeah.
And at this point, since it's now being so, I really hope this is not a... It's not a work. It's not a WWE work because it's a moron from TMZ with a camera in the airport. If it was a work for WWE, you'd think they'd do it on their own television show.
At least on Total Divas. You were telling me that Stephanie McMahon has come out and congratulated Darren, so...
All the report, if you just type in, because you can search keywords on the Twitter app.
Yeah.
And if you just type in Darren Young, all the tweets have been really positive. So I'm not saying that the WWE even needs to do a storyline with this. That's up to him and it's his personal life. But I think it is a really good thing because it has been positive so far. Now, I'm sure the trolls are going to come out very soon.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure there's going to be some really bad signs at some WWE shows, and hopefully those are confiscated a la... At the door, a la Great White Loves Pyro. but I think this is a good thing. WWE is a mainstream company, and they have the be a star thing. And they
that
do
is true.
So much to teach kids a positive message. And even if he never uses it as his character on TV, he can still go out there and use his platform as a WWE superstar to address the issues that the gay community faces, if he does, because he's not John Cena. But
though some people say he does look like Black John Cena.
People
he really does
in the wrestling
look like
community know who Darren Young is. And then him being a WWE superstar, even to the people who don't know him for his wrestling, that carries weight. So
absolutely.
Let's move on to what we wanted to actually talk about.
I do want
to
say this. If you're one of the trolls who is putting negative shit on the internet about this, you need to reevaluate yourself.
You're not doing life right.
Exactly. And big ups to Darren Young for, I guess, letting people know.
Having the guts to do
exactly.
This.
Standing O, dude.
That's
from
I really hope
us here at Near Fall Radio. Big
absolutely.
Ups to you. But, yeah, we are recording this on the 15th of August, and I don't know if you're playing along at home with your calendar, but there's a pay-per-view this Sunday called SummerSlam, or SummerFest if you're Jeremy Piven's. But I got to say, I'm really looking forward to this card. I might actually be looking forward to this more so than I was Mania. Like, top to bottom, this might be the best card WWE has put together in a long time. Like, including Mania.
Mania is like the Super Bowl, and you get excited to watch the Super Bowl regardless. Like,
that is true.
The Jacksonville Jaguars could play...
Let's not go crazy here. The Jacksonville Jaguars are never going to get the Super Bowl.
But if they did...
Then the world would
if
end.
Let's say the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers played in the Super Bowl.
The NFL would cancel the Super Bowl.
You would get excited for it though, because the game is not even really important. You're gonna watch Super Bowl.
I don't know about that. We're gonna
watch Mania. But oftentimes there are other games that will come along in a regular season that don't have the prestige of the Super Bowl, but
you still get amped.
Huge games. Like a couple years ago, I think the Colts and the Patriots might have both been undefeated.
Yeah, that's right.
And they played each other in a regular season game. Now, obviously, you can't have a Colts-Patriots Super Bowl. I would say that one game is probably a better game than some Super Bowls. And I would say... Much along those lines is how I look at SummerSlam. Yes, I'm not taking away. It's not taking away from WrestleMania because there's always built-in excitement about WrestleMania because it's the granddaddy of them all.
It's Mania.
It's Mania.
Yeah.
It is the original. But I agree with you. I think this card is top to bottom. Minus the two Divas matches, because they're Divas matches.
But in all honesty, it's like one of the Divas match I'm really looking forward to. Well, not really looking. I'm interested in.
The tag match.
Yes, the tag match. We'll go ahead and let you know what the card is. We're going to have a pre-show match featuring the U.S. champion Dean Ambrose of The Shield taking on Rob Van Dam, or RVD as some people know him. There are two matches involving Divas. Natalya will be taking on Brie Bella. Yeah, that's right. I get the Bellas confused. Mm.
Nipple Bella.
Yes, Nipple Bella. Good God. Yeah, that was a full-on bully, man. Anyway, the other one will feature Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn teaming up to take on AJ Lee and Big E Langston. We have Bray Wyatt making his in-ring debut against Kane in a Ring of Fire match, which we'll...
explain later.
Yes. It's not an Inferno match. It's not an Inferno match, but we will explain that later. We also have Mr. what is it, Tinder in the Repository, Damien Sandow?
So I have many books that are leather bound, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
I'm kind of a big deal. He's taking on his former tag team partner and best friend, Cody Rhodes.
He's my best friend.
He's my best friend. After that, we got our world heavyweight champion, Alberto Del Rio, taking on Captain Charisma and his peeps, Christian, as I look for my peeps in the Palacious Butt Munch Chip Studios. We also have...
5 second pose?
Oh, man. Yeah, those 5 second poses were the best. We also have The Beast versus The Best in CM Punk versus Brock Bork Laser Lesnar.
Wait, you did it wrong.
Crap, that's... yeah.
Brock Lesnar!
My client. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I guess in your main event, which will either...
Co-main event.
Break the internet in pure joy or break the internet in unbridled rage, WWE Champion John Cena defends his title against Daniel Bryan. So that seems like a pretty damn good card in my opinion. Rab, where do you want to start?
I want to start with Punk and Bork.
Okay.
Because... with all due respect to John Cena and Daniel Bryan, which will be the last match on the card, because it's the John Cena match. He always goes out last.
Oh, and BT-dubs, Triple H is the special guest referee
right.
in the WWE Championship match.
They're like 1 and 1A for me, but I want to start with that Punk-Brock Lesnar match, because I think that's the best feud in the company right now.
Well, that is how they ended the go-home show for Raw this past Monday, with CM Punk killing Brock Lesnar with a television camera. That was fun.
They have done a good job of using two of the best microphone men in the company and using this the best, just pure...
The beast incarnate.
The beast, the ass kicker, Brock Lesnar. And I don't know if you saw... the promo that he did. They did a taped vignette
yeah,
with him.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's the UFC shoot style interview.
I really like that.
Which they need to use more of on not just him. That would be perfect, you know.
Wasn't he in the UFC?
That would be perfect for like I'm thinking if you ever bring when you bring Brock Ryback up and use him in a main event level again, have him do just shoot interviews like that.
Well, if you remember,
they
speaking
already
of Ryback,
taped his vignette like that.
Yeah,
but if they do that, to could kind of help out guys who aren't good on the mic.
Well, yeah, if you remember, speaking of Ryback, when he was feuding with Cena during the summer, I want to say it was going into their ambulance match. They did have that really good just taped segment backstage, and we both commented that was the best Ryback ever sounded.
But instead of just having it like him just standing there like he's talking live, but we all know it's taped, have it look like that Brock Lesnar sit down black and white interview like the one they show on the UFC paper. Rip them off. They're kicking WWE's ass in our demo.
Yeah.
Rip them off. Come on.
Might as well.
And then Punk is just great. And Paul Heyman's one of the top three managers of all time. So
that's the thing. It's like before Heyman came back, everybody was like, "Yeah, he was a really good manager, top 10." I've just been so impressed by his body of work since he came back when he was running around telling Punk he was the best in the world, and now he's doing stuff with Michael McGillicuddy, and the entire time Brock Lesnar's hanging out in the background just not knowing when he's going to... Like, even though I know he's on the roster, whenever I hear Brock Lesnar's music hit, I always get that, oh shit, here we go type feel.
When you hear that first bar.
Yeah, I'm like, oh,
that,
God.
That guitar little.
Yeah. It's whenever he shows up, I mean, for lack of a better term, there's a big fight feel.
It is. It's that's what's beautiful, but they use him so well, and it's perfect because it's what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it works really good for the company. So I'm really excited for that. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. Punk's a great worker. Brock is just a pure ass kicker.
Yeah.
And
Brock is the beast. They call him that for a reason.
I think, although we won't be able to clear it from our minds, I think this might make up for that really horrible match that Brock and Triple H had at Mania. Yeah, well, depending on how they call the match.
I don't know. That was a pretty bad match. In all honesty, it's like I don't even want to think of that match from Mania. It's like I want to look forward to what Punk and Brock can do in the ring, because it's like the two are so just complete contrast opposites. One is this 6'7", 300-pound mountain of just death, while the other guy looks like he's made of pipe cleaners, but he'll tap you out. He'll still kick your ass. And what I really enjoyed in this I guess feud, for lack of a better term, is whenever they do tangle and cross pads, they're not wrestling, they're not trading holds, they're fighting, they're like hitting each other with cameras, throwing the other one into the ring, F5ing somebody into a table, and then picking him up and throwing him like he's a fucking lawn dart.
Yeah, so I would echo that. And hope that they're smart enough to continue that and not get into let's have a wrestling match.
Yes.
Because that's not what you want to see from Brock Lesnar and CM Punk, even though CM Punk can give you a great, pure wrestling match. We want to see a fight.
Exactly.
And at the end, if they do book it, which I don't really think they're going to book Punk to win this. I think Brock's going to win. I guess you could book it where Punk taps out Brock in like an Anaconda vice, but that really just doesn't make any sense, because this feud's been built up just to be a street fight. I hate you, and I'm going to kill you.
I wouldn't be surprised at one point if Punk doesn't lock Brock into an Anaconda vice and just like death stares Paul, but I also wouldn't be surprised if when Punk's looking away, he looks back and realizes, oh God, Brock Lesnar has just picked me up and now he's going to tear my arm off and stick it up my ass.
Well, I mean, he has to use his moveset, but...
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what this is about. Don't expect to see a wrestling match. Expect to see a war.
I also expect CM Punk to be busted open in the first 5 minutes of this match, because just based on Brock Lesnar's track record ever since he's come back, dude makes his opponents bleed.
It's going to be beautiful, though, because I can think of very few people who sell better than CM Punk.
Yeah, that is true.
So that's that match.
Oh, and also, that might give you another reason, an incentive, if you will, to order the pay-per-view this Sunday, because once Punk gets busted open, those replays they're going to be showing on Raw the next night going to be in black and white. So if you want to see this in color, you're going to need to get the pay-per-view.
Indeed.
Because Punk is going to bleed. I mean, he's bled, what, two of the three times they've tangled in the ring on Raw?
Yeah.
So, I mean, why are we going to think this is different? I'm with you. I think Brock picks up the victory here, though I am looking forward to the fight and not the match. Next up, why don't we move to the intellectual savior of the masses, Mr. Tinder in the Repository, Damian Sandow, and Cody Rhodes.
I think this is another well-done storyline from the WWE. We had talked about, with Damian Sandow winning in the Money in the Bank, that it was a good move for the future, but you would have to build him up. And you have a guy in Cody Rhodes who, it's a natural feud. It's not anything. It's best when you can keep it simple. And like that's what was so good about Paul and Punk and Brock, is it's simple. This is simple. They were friends.
Best
friends. One saw the opportunity, so he screwed his best friend. And this is the best friend getting revenge, and this is the natural progression. So I think it's really well done. And Damian Sandow's entertaining. We're Sandow.
Oh, yeah.
We're total Sandow marks.
Oh, yeah. They're just unabashed, unapologetic. I'm actually thinking this. I don't want to say, you know, this is my dark horse for the match of the night, but it's like I really think this match could take some people by surprise, just because these two work so well together, and their storytelling, not what they do in the ring. I mean, that's good too, but in addition to that, just the storytelling, the complete package of it all. I think it's really going to surprise some people.
It's like a lot of times Chris Jericho always talked about wanting to have the match that stole the show at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and I think this is one of those matches that could steal the show at SummerSlam, because for a lot of people not named Landon and Will and people who aren't Sandow marks. They're like, who's this Damian Sandow guy? Who's
a lot
this
of people
Cody Rhodes guy?
Get him.
Yeah.
They really don't.
But if they sneak in and they have a really good match, it's always the match that you're not expecting to be the match of the night that steals the show. Like Punk and Brock or Cena and Bryan can't really steal the show because that's built up as a main event. You're expecting so much from that. All it can really do is let you down. Although they can have a good match, it's not the show stealer.
I was going to say, I'm actually a little afraid about those two matches you mentioned because for whatever reason, I'm getting really pumped and I'm building these matches up big, especially the WWE Championship match. I'm really looking forward to that match.
I think there's going to be a lot of people to fit depending on that are going to judge that championship match solely on the finish. And
yes.
I'm going to warn people not to do that. Just because Daniel Bryan doesn't win doesn't mean it's not a good match, and it doesn't mean Daniel Bryan's not getting the title down the line. It's always about building the story, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about giving you what you want when you want it. It's about building the story.
So did you just reveal who you think's going to win the WWE Championship
match? No, I have no idea. I'm just saying along those lines.
You're just using that as an example.
I'm just using that as an example. I'm saying because you're saying the expectations are so high and people are going to expect so much out of that match, I think a lot of our core audience is not going to be happy if Daniel Bryan is on his back for a count of three.
Like I said to open the show when we were talking about this match, this is going to break the internet either in pure joy or pure unadulterated anger. Like, this is going to... If Daniel Bryan wins the title on Sunday, it's going to break so many wrestling site websites. If he loses, so many more websites are going to be busted.
We're back to Sandow and Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
That thing. It's kind of another toss-up for me, but I think if you're trying to build Damian Sandow up, he has to win matches on big stages. He has to win at pay-per-views. If he drops a match on a SmackDown or whatever, Cody Rhodes, that sneaks one in on him and it advances the storyline, that's one thing. But when you have these big showdown matches on big stages, if you're trying to build Damian Sandow up, I think he has to win. So I'm rooting as a Sandow fan for him to win, and I think that it's the logical place that it's going for the purpose of this feud. So I think Mr. Tinder in the repository is going to put a big cap in his feather, so to speak, on a Sunday night.
I actually think Sandow is going to win for the exact same reasons. They're trying to build up Damian Sandow as a legitimate threat to the World Heavyweight Championship. And a lot of people, like you said, that aren't us and weren't just giant honks for the Team Rhodes Scholar stuff and what Sandow's been doing, they don't get why WWE has given Sandow this opportunity. And they just think, oh, okay, well, this is the guy... This is the other guy that's going to lose when he cashes in Money in the Bank.
I had a thought. Hold on. What, and to that point, what big match has Damian Sandow himself ever actually won? And I'm not knocking him.
Money in the Bank.
He won Money in the Bank, and that's it, that he won himself. He had some big wins as a part of Team Rhodes Scholars, and I think they might have had the tag...
Well,
belts a little bit, but this is another step. He won Money in the Bank. He needs another big win on a big stage himself.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Rhodes Scholars ever even got the strap. So
I may have missed that, but my point is...
It's a damn shame if they didn't.
In any big matches they had, it's usually Cody Rhodes who was the workhorse of that tag team.
Yeah, and Sandow was the mouthpiece.
Yes. Two more real quick before we hit the break in our kind of first half. Look
our
at the
heavyweight
card.
Championship
match. Our heavyweight championship match. Alberto, I get less of a reaction than the guy selling cotton candy, Del Rio.
Yeah. Excuse me. Alberto, I get a less response than the guy selling cotton candy, Del Rio.
Del Rio beat up his bodyguard with a bucket, and he still can't get a view.
I know.
He went full heel. He... beat up his best friend.
He's my best friend.
Even X-Pac feels bad for him because he can't even get X-Pac heat.
Yeah, he would settle for the Vicky Guerrero go-away heat that she used to get.
At least it'd be a reaction, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, they got to do something with Del Rio. I mean, his reactions are just not there.
I don't want to say this is cut and dry, but, I mean, if even if Christian is a transitional champion, and I know that's a four-letter word, that's a dirty word, but that's the point where he's at in his career. You're not going to build a long run off of Christian, but he could have the belt for a couple months and help you get that back in the place where it needs to be.
He can be that gatekeeper.
And turn around everything that Del Rio's effed up, or whoever's effed it up. So I think this is clear. You got to take the strap off of Del Rio. He's relegated the World Heavyweight Championship to like IC hardcore title status.
Now let's settle down. It's not Michael McGillicuddy territory just yet.
Well, it's true because the IC title isn't even on the card.
The Miz is on SummerSlam.
Why should he have the reward of being a world champion, even though it's just a prop on a TV show? If he's not getting the reaction that a champion has to get some sort of reaction.
Yeah,
doesn't matter
that is
if
true.
Good or bad. If you don't get a reaction, you don't deserve to be a champion. So I think this is clear cut. I think they put it on Christian, even if it's just a holdover move. Del Rio's just garbage.
I agree with you. They need to do something with Del Rio. I think I said that much not a couple minutes ago. I agree. Him as a world heavyweight champion just isn't working. I'm a giant Christian fan. That said, I can't bring myself to say that they're going to put the strap on Christian. I just do not see it.
Well, the guy who really needs to have the world title is Ziggler, but they need to have Ziggler get screwed so he could go have that storyline with AJ Lee. And we don't really want to see Del Rio and Ziggler again.
No.
So you put the title on Christian for like 6 weeks, let Ziggler kind of, for the most part, take care of his feud with AJ Lee, and you can bring it back up later, and then 6 weeks from now, you give Ziggler his title that he really deserves.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, WWE in their infinite wisdom has decided to turn Dolph Ziggler face. Yeah. So are we really going to be at SummerSlam, or not SummerSlam, Survivor Series, are we really going to see face-on-face Christian versus Dolph Ziggler? Now, I have no doubt that would be a fun match to watch. Storytelling-wise, like the vignette promo build-up, I'm not so sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of both of those individuals, but I don't know. Like, I'm a little leery of face-on-face.
Just
violence.
Do it on free TV as a big upset. Oh, my God, Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, I won't let Christian win the title! People are still upset that Christian only held the title for a week, like 3 years ago.
That was a little bit of a bitch move.
Well, in all
he could have had it for. He could have had. He got it because he was Edge's best friend. He could have had it for more than a week.
He was my best friend. A lot of best friends today.
But, and I'm not dogging Christian, but maybe that's what you got to do, and maybe it doesn't go to Ziggler right away. But you're gonna just keep drowning with Del Rio. That's all I'm saying.
I hope I'm wrong because, like I said, I'm a giant Christian fan. You know how big of a Christian fan I am. Ask me which TNA wrestling shirt I own.
Christian Cage.
Yep.
Yep.
I own a Christian Cage TNA wrestling T-shirt. Don't tell anybody. But I hope I'm wrong. But I think they're gonna keep the strap on Del Rio this Sunday.
Final match. Real quick, I can sum this up real quick. Ambrose versus RVD on the pre-show. Going to get a real good match. Get the crowd warmed up.
Well, we're going to get a match. I don't know if it's going to be a real good match. I'm happy to see Rob Van Dam back, but his in-ring stuff has left a lot to desire. He just seems like he wants to hit his spots, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's why it's going to be a good match for the pre-show.
Yeah, it is your pre-show.
It's going to do what it needs to do. It's the match on the pre-show. It gets the crowd warmed up. Gets them ready for the pay-per-view. And it helps put Dean Ambrose over when he beats RVD, whether RVD's the RVD of the 90s or the RVD now who wants to make apple bongs and do his spot.
It
serves
you
all
right. It's still beating a name. And in all honesty, it's like, I kind of feel like that's why they brought RVD back, not for Dean Ambrose to beat him, but because he does still have that name being RVD.
Yeah, it's why they still have Christian on the roster. It's a name.
No, Christian can actually still work.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying they don't have, like, big, like, world title, like, WWE title, like, main eventer ideals for Christian. He's a top mid-card guy, and his job is to be a good, solid worker and help put people over.
Yeah.
Like Chris Jericho did on his last run.
Mm-hmm.
That's his job. So that's the first half of the SummerSlam card. We're both taking Bork Laser.
That is correct.
Damian Sandow.
Also correct.
We're split on ADR Christian, though we both hope Christian.
Yeah, I'm saying Alberto Del Rio walks out, though I would really love to be wrong in this situation.
And I'm going with Christian. And then we both agree that RVD is a prop for Dean Ambrose and the Shield to further themselves.
Yep, pretty much. So that means we have the two Divas matches still to talk about. We have the WWE Championship match to talk about. And we also have a... Wait a minute, do you hear that in the background? I hear a little Johnny Cash. We have a Ring of Fire match to talk about. We're breaking down SummerSlam, so keep it locked. You're listening to Near Fall Radio, appearing exclusively on the Farm Club and Butt Munch Chips. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch.
And it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. The ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Welcome back in to Near Fall Radio, which you can hear at buttmunchchips.com and thefarmclub.net. I am the Will Rab, and I am joined by the Dawes, Landon Doan.
Hi.
And we are breaking down SummerSlam. Last segment, we talked about CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. We both went with Brock Lesnar. We also both picked Damian Sandow to defeat Cody Rhodes and Dean Ambrose to defeat RVD. The only place we disagreed was on the World Heavyweight Championship match. I am on the record in picking Christian. Landon is picking Alberto Del Rio. However, we both really hope that Christian gets his hand raised at the end of the night.
Yeah, like I said, I would be very okay being wrong on this one.
So, still four matches to break down. And before we talk about them, let's just remind you what else is going on at SummerSlam. We, of course, have Natalya versus Brie Bella.
Yes, not Bria Bell, as I tried to call her earlier.
We have Dolph Ziggler teaming with Caitlyn to take on Big Lee Langston, as I think we're going to call them now.
Yeah, we're going to try and make that a thing. Hashtag Big Lee Langston.
So AJ and Big E. A match that I think we are both very much looking forward to.
And has created quite a bit of confusion on the internet.
Kane versus Bray Wyatt.
They're here.
And in your co-main event
now,
of the evening.
It's the main event.
What? Okay, it's the main event. It's going to go on last, but those are both huge matches. But it's your main event.
It's your main event. Shut up.
Of the evening. John Cena, the WWE champion, taking on the most over man in the WWE, if not the world, period.
Yeah, I think on our last podcast, I was like, screw the WWE, I'm going to say the world.
Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And let's start with the match that, yes, as you've said a couple times, yes, is going to tear the internet apart and rip it to shreds.
Yes, I said a couple times last segment that whether Cena wins or Cena loses, the internet is going to be just split in half based on the outcome of Sunday's main event. Because starting back really last summer when he and Kane were put together in that tag program, ever since then, I mean, the way they've been building Daniel Bryan has just been, it's been handled flawlessly from the WWE. I mean, we've said on multiple occasions that Daniel Bryan is over for a multitude of reasons, whether it's him coming in off the hot tag and he has everybody in a building that has 38,000 people in it standing and screaming yes and no at him, the way he's able to get, you know, submission locks over. That's something not a lot of people can do. I mean, people go bananas when he locks in the yes lock.
And let's just cut to the chase. The people who really like Daniel Bryan like Daniel Bryan because he's not John Cena.
He's a turn heel. God,
we've talked about that, but
So, one of us has even written about it.
Yes. check out Landon's work on the Farm Club. That's
the farmclub.net. Hey.
Yes, that's what we call
plug.
A plug. And I think partially, although it's made for a really good feud, I think it's going to be unfortunate if and probably when John Cena gets the victory, because he's John Cena. Well, they just let him win because he's John Cena, and he can't wrestle in the internet wrestling community.
Oh, John Cena only knows five moves.
Is going to lose their shit, even if it's a really epic five-star match, because they just hate John Cena. And we could talk about it for days, and I'm not going to bring it up again, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think we're one of the few wrestling things online that doesn't just vehemently hate John Cena for whatever reason.
I kind of don't think they hate John Cena as much as they hate what John Cena represents. And it doesn't represent the wrestling they want to see, or it doesn't represent what they think wrestling's supposed to be. And as we've said 1,000 times, if that's what, if John Cena's not what you want to see, go watch Shikara. And nothing against Shikara of Ring of Honor, but that if you want to see indie wrestling, watch that.
Yeah, if you want to see a 450 Morningstar splash screw, you need to go watch something like New Jersey All Pro or something.
Yeah.
Turn on your local cable access channel. There's a 50-50 shot. There's going to be some sort of wrestling on there, and it might be more up your alley because it's not being catered to women and children. It's for real, man.
The WWE is an entertainment product.
It is.
And this feud has been entertaining. And I like that they've worked in the real-life criticisms of John Cena.
Yeah, that promo.
That he's not a wrestler, which is crap. But it's a perception.
That line that Daniel Bryan threw, you know, in Japan, right before two wrestlers fight each other, if they respect each other, they'll slap each other really hard. John, I'm not going to do that with you. Not because I don't respect you, it's because you're not a wrestler.
It was a great promo.
Oh, that promo was amazing. Ugh.
And, I mean, we both know that Daniel Bryan and John Cena respect the crap out of each other. If
I mean, do you watch Total Divas?
At least not if just for the fact to make their women happy. here's we're gonna break down the fourth wall. Guess what? John Cena and Daniel Bryan both date Bellas.
Yep.
Because they're both over.
And this shouldn't really be news to you if you've been watching Total Divas, which has been renewed for a second season already.
You're so excited about that, aren't you?
It's really a guilty pleasure. I'm actually kind of torn. I don't know what I'm going to watch on Sunday, SummerSlam or Total Divas. Wait, I almost said that with a straight face.
But no, I was wondering at first what they're going to do with this like face versus face deal, because they're both baby faces.
Well, they're both considered baby faces. If depending on who you ask, though, they might or might not say John Cena's a face.
But that's how it worked out. There's enough of the fan base that doesn't like him.
Exactly.
John Cena's not a heel.
No.
He's not a heel.
Yeah.
People might not like his act, but he's not a heel.
Exactly.
So it really works out good because they're able to kind of... I don't know what you call the other contingent of the fan base, because I just want to call them stupid marks because they're not all stupid marks. But
let's just go ahead and paint with some big, broad strokes.
You got the IWC versus, I guess, the WWE Universe. I guess that's what we'll call it.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. If only the WWE had some sort of term to, like, a universal something or another.
Yeah. That, I know I'm just repeating myself, and this sounds like crap right now, but I'm going to get to my point in a second, I promise. Just another good storyline, and that's why I think You have to applaud the WWE right now. They've come up with some really good angles.
They really, I mean, we've said it before on older episodes. There's the old adage, the WWE takes off during the summer. They take off while all the kids are out of school. They really haven't, quote unquote, taken off this summer. This summer, they've put together some pretty damn good feuds. And guess what? John Cena's been at the center of more than a couple of them.
As he should be as the face of the company.
But he can't wrestle!
Well, that's why this match is perfect, because it doesn't matter what you think of John Cena, there's somebody for you.
I think I need to stop doing the Cena Boo Bird voice. I think I just cracked a tooth.
Ooh, yeah. That's not good.
I'll have to go see Isaac Yankum, DDS. Speaking of Isaac Yankum, or rather the person he turned into, Kane, he's in a match.
He is.
He's in a match involving fire with Bray Wyatt.
Real quick before we get to that, do we just want to make a prediction on how we think this match is going to go and just put a bow on Cena versus Braun?
I don't want to make a prediction because I have no idea who's going to win. That should tell you how strongly they've booked this story, because I can see John Cena winning. I can also see Daniel Bryan winning just as easy. A part of me really hopes they do put it on Bryan here, and that's not me being an IWC honk. Oh, I saw him in ROH. I actually didn't. The first time I ever saw Daniel Bryan...
NXT.
I never saw him as Bryan Danielson. I've gone back and watched a handful of matches he did in ROH when he was Bryan Danielson. That said, my first exposure to him was NXT, so I didn't have these preconceived notions that Jesus Christ was stepping into a wrestling ring and he was going to slap on a yes lock onto somebody. Mm-hmm. I really hope that the WWE does... Well, I'm not going to say I really hope. Part of me does, because I feel like if they don't put it on him, they're going to kind of squander all this heat that he's built up. I mean, we've said it multiple times. I've lost count how many times we've said he is the most over person in the company. And that's not just us saying it. That's not just us putting it out there because it sounds like a good line. It's factually accurate.
I mean, I guess if the WWE has a good plan, they could continue this feud and Daniel Bryan continues to climb the mountain, but I don't see... He's there. He doesn't need...
He is at the mountaintop.
He's there. He just... I guess I'm kind of worried if you let John Cena beat him, even if it's a close match, and even if they continue the feud, that you're going to piss off enough of the fan base that you're not going to be able to continue it, and it could just deflate because you drug it out too long.
Yes.
Kind of like the CM Punk best in the world thing just got tired.
That's a fantastic analogy. We're both Punk fans, but go back and listen to some of our older episodes. Me especially, I'm tired of the same song and dance. And you said maybe if Bryan loses, some of the fans won't you know, get up for a rematch. I hate to tell you, if you tell the IWC Daniel Bryan is going to be wrestling for the WWE Championship match, no matter how much they hate the story or how pissed off they are at it, they're going to get up for it. But I think you were spot on when you said it could deflate some of what Daniel has going for him right now. Just because right now, it's like...
It squashes his momentum.
Yeah. It could be a momentum killer. If you put a gun to my head and I had to pick one or the other... I would go, even with the proverbial gun to my head, who?
Well, you thought that John Cena was going to have a long title reign.
Yes.
And I see where you're coming from on that, but I could see Daniel Bryan having the title for a couple of months.
Through like Royal Rumble or something, drop it there.
Maybe, well, okay, so it's August right now. Survivor Series is in November.
Yeah.
If you want to do those, you're going to want to do more than one Daniel Bryan John Cena match, because there's a lot of money to be made in it. And I think the best way, if you're going to do several matches, is to let Daniel Bryan have the title for a little while, because that makes everybody happy. And I think it also just... It allows the storyline to be fresh instead of Daniel Bryan. Oh, we already saw Daniel Bryan wrestle John Cena once and he lost it. So what? Like, it just seems easier just to keep it going if he's the champion.
Yeah. Well, and then this is something
I didn't mean to really cut you off there. Go ahead and I'll make my point.
All right. Well, I was going to say this is something we didn't even bring up. The elephant in the background of this entire match is the McMahons. Because I told you I'm getting smatterings of WrestleMania 17 all over again. Or excuse me, WrestleMania 2000, where we had McMahon versus McMahon versus McMahon versus McMahon. And they all like had their own, quote unquote, their guy. And they fought through their guy. I'm not saying we're going to get the full-on, you know, they're going to bring Linda McMahon back out and Shane O'Mac's going to come back from wherever he is.
God, Shane O'Mac, come save us.
But it's like, Vince McMahon has come out and said he doesn't think Daniel Bryan deserves to be his champion. He doesn't like John Cena being his champion. What about Randy Orton? Sorry,
I'm not sure what's worse. John Cena pinning Daniel Bryan clean in the middle and walking out with the strap, or Daniel Bryan winning and then Randy Orton cashes in.
Oh my god, the internet would literally break if
he had
a
10-minute title reign.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's worse. I don't think Randy Orton cashes in at SummerSlam unless John Cena retains. Because they may say, oh, well, Daniel Bryan lost, but at least it's not John Cena. But if they, it's not, you're not screwing Daniel Bryan, but in their eyes, screw Daniel Bryan like that. Make him the champion only immediately to take it away.
Dude, people would lose their freaking mind.
But
I kind of hope that does happen now, because I could just, I could almost hear the meltdown videos that would be posted on YouTube in the thousands. We would get so much unintentional comedy from that. I'm kind of pulling for that now.
Well, I mean, it could be really fun if Randy Orton cashes in on Daniel Bryan after he wins it, and then down the road somewhere we have all three of them kind of feuding for the title. And I know it's been done a lot, but.
Well, and it
would keep, by just simply introducing another person, it keeps it fresh versus just a straight rematch of Daniel Bryan and John Cena. Not that that's a bad thing, but it definitely keeps it fresh because both guys feel kind of screwed.
I would say I'm a little leery introducing a third person into the Cena-Bryan feud, just because I'm afraid another part could mess up what they have going
on.
He's
kind of already a part of it.
But at the same time, there already is a third person introduced into this feud. Triple H is the guest referee.
And McMahons.
And the McMahons. And going back a few episodes ago, I think I said that Randy Orton has been made prevalent again because of what he's been doing with Daniel Bryan. Yeah. So why not? And
there's a possibility. I think if you put the gun to my head, and I really have no idea, and it's just really hard, and it's kind of because it's what I want to see, I'm going to pick Daniel Bryan. I think that extends the feud better.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gives the IWC what they want, and then whoever he ends up facing, if Randy Orton comes out one night in the middle, they have the rematch at the next pay-per-view down the road, whatever the pay-per-view is, Over the Top or whatever they call it.
Over the Top. Really? Is that the name of a pay-per-view? That's terrible. It can't
whatever,
be Over the Top.
Whatever the next pay-per-view is, just, it's Night of Champions. Let's say Night of Champions, they have their rematch.
Thank God it's not Over the Top. That's a terrible name.
I was thinking of Over the Limit, which was a terrible name too, but let's say at Night Champions are having their rematch, and Randy Orton just says, screw it. And he walks out, and he RKOs Cena, and then hands the briefcase, and RKOs Daniel Bryan. I don't care how they mix the feud up. I just think it'd be really fun to see Daniel Bryan be the champion, even if he's only a champion for like 6 weeks.
Even
if he's only a champion for like two pay-per-views.
I do think we are going to eventually see Daniel Bryan hold the WWE Championship. I just don't know if it's going to be here. Okay, I guess gun to my head, I'll also say Daniel Bryan walks out, but that's because I want to see the internet freak out when Randy Orton comes and cashes in. But outside of me wanting complete and utter internet chaos, I gotta say Cena. I'm gonna say Cena. I'm not convinced on it, but I'm gonna say Cena.
Well, I understand again your theory on him having a long title run, but I'm not convinced this is his last one.
His last title run, period. No, I agree with you. I think this is going to be his last elongated run where they just give him the ball, say, guess what, dude, you have the Rock, hit the hole and just keep going.
Yeah, but the thing is, even though I understood why you think that and it makes sense, in the same way it doesn't make sense, because if you're doing that, you're holding back your hottest guy at his peak. And what if a year from now, when we get to WrestleMania 30, and that was the plan for Cena to carry it from WrestleMania to WrestleMania and then drop it, Daniel Bryan's star has fallen, and you've wasted Daniel Bryan.
That is true.
That's why I think it's Daniel Bryan, because you strike while the iron's hot, and even if John Cena gets it back at Survivor Series or at the Rumble. I see, I think if you do it, Cena gets it back at Survivor Series, and then Daniel Bryan enters the Rumble and wins the Rumble and challenges again at WrestleMania, and then you really pass the torch, and that's Cena's last kind of long title run, even though it was broken up. He had the title twice and had it for most of the year. And then Bryan's your guy to run with, and Cena kind of starts doing the Christian Chris Jericho thing.
Well, gosh darn it, Will, insert creative name here. Rab, you convinced me. I'm going to change my pick to Daniel Bryan.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I really think it's a 50-50 shot.
Well, I mean, that really just and it goes to tell you how well the WWE has booked this thing. The fact that neither one of us are really sold on our pick. I mean, hell, Rab just convinced me to change my pick.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm also doing it because I hope Randy Orton cashes in and internet chaos ensues.
I don't really care if I think Daniel Bryan will beat John Cena. That doesn't mean he walks out the champion. But either way, the feud is fantastic going forward.
Yeah, WWE's done a really good job with it.
Because, you know, John Cena's going to want his shot. And then you always have Randy Orton lurking. So especially if Randy Orton cashes in, I think that's the most exciting because that's just absolute chaos.
Yeah.
And it's chaos done well. It's not Vince Russo.
TNA chaos for the sake of
chaos. WCW chaos for the sake
of chaos. Dixie Carter announcing, we have an announcement that's going to change the face of professional wrestling. We got Tito Ortiz. Wait, what?
We're going to go on the road and waste $600,000 every week.
Before the end of the year, we might be having to have a in memoriam podcast for total nonstop action wrestling.
I really hope not.
I don't want them to go out of business. Just business wise, they might not have an option other than going out. But yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about failing second.
No, we
promotions.
Have a couple other matches to talk about. Real quick, let's just touch on the two. The two Divas matches, and then we'll wrap up with Kane and Wyatt.
Well, speaking of the Divas matches, one of them is part of the reason why I'm kind of thinking this Daniel Bryan John Cena feud is going to continue, because you know eventually they're going to have to shoehorn this Total Divas thing where they reveal that one is dating a Bella and the other one's dating the other Bella. You know at some point this is going to be brought up.
Yeah, but that's why it really doesn't matter who wins that match to be able to do that storyline.
Exactly. It's got to continue.
Yeah, the storyline's going to continue, so just kind of appease the internet wrestling community for a minute and give them their champion, even if it's only for a month. I don't know. I mean, I'm not short-sighting Daniel Bryan. I'm just saying, keep them engaged and excited because they have their champion, and then John Cena, and you still have the 50-50, where either way, they're still going to champion Bryan, but they get to have their moment. And just give them their moment.
And then it's going to lead to the Survivor Series match between Daniel Bryan and Brie versus John Cena and Nikki, where the losers leave Total Diva.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But have an intergender tag match or mixed tag, whatever you want. That's the same thing.
We're arguing schematics.
Zig Cat. The Zig Cat, Ziggler and Caitlin. Versus Big Lee.
Yeah, as we're gonna try and call them.
Hey, if you could have what did they call Y2J and a Big Show's team that was really stupid?
Oh, Jericho.
Jericho. If they're gonna have Jericho, why can't we have Big Lee?
Well, do you remember Show Miz when Big Show and Show Miz? Yeah.
Oh, that was bad.
Uh-huh.
So AJ and Big E versus Ziggler and Caitlin. Of course, Caitlin and AJ have been feuding for the Divas title.
Yep.
And Big E and Ziggler and AJ have been feuding since AJ cost Ziggler the World Heavyweight Championship. And
you know who I've been impressed with? His body of work. Big E Langston's looked so good.
He is going to be a big thing in the WWE one day. He is going to be a champ. He is going to be a world champion, and it is going to be a big deal. So that sets up pretty interesting, you know, undercard match. It's not your main event, but it's a good middle of the card match here. Because you do have Dolph versus Big E, and that is the bigger thing they're building for, is a showdown between those two eventually.
Yeah.
And at some point, I would predict a showdown between those two with a strap on the line. So that sets up a pretty good match. Both of the Divas are pretty good workers in the ring. And, of course, you know you're in a good match from Dolph. And we've both really been impressed with Big E. So, Landon, where are you leaning on this?
I actually think I'm going to go with the heels here. Just for whatever reason, I really feel like AJ and Big E are clicking as a team, as a tandem, whatever you want to call them. And in all honesty, it's like, why would you put the faces over here? It's like, yeah, Dolph does need something to kind of get some momentum going as a face, but I don't think picking up a victory over those two in a mixed tag match are really going to, you know, propel him forward. It would help, but at the same time, it's like, I think it would make Dolph's eventual victory over AJ and Big E that much bigger if they kind of gave Big E and AJ some momentum right now and helped build up Big E into this guy that you and I think is pretty awesome, but the rest of the majority of people think he's just a big, giant, muscly black dude.
He's just Dolph's heavy, as Michael Cole will not let us forget.
Yes.
But
though, if you asked Big E about being Dolph's heavy, he said Dolph needed him. Big E didn't need Dolph.
That's a fact. And the more I think about it, I'm going to agree with you. The burn-off, the payoff to this feud, ultimately is Dolph versus Big E.
Yes.
One-on-one. So, Dolph and AJ only build on that. As soon as Dolph gets his victory over them, so to speak, even if it's not really both of them, as soon as he defeats them, that feud, for all intents and purposes, is done. He's gotten his revenge.
Yeah.
So, I think they're going to keep that going because they're going to build towards Dolph versus Big E at one of the pay-per-views down the line. Probably not a Champions. Maybe not a Champions, maybe the one after that, but that's building down the line. So,
well, and you also have to remember, for all intents and purposes, this is really the first time Big E and Dolph are going to like square off. Yeah, Big E did beat Dolph clean on Monday a few weeks ago, but I mean, like, this feud is really just starting to get going.
Mm-hmm. So it's got a way to go. So it's not burning off anytime soon, and it does more for AJ and Big E to get the win. So we agree on that as well.
A lot of
agreement. And we have...
Is this agreement slam?
I think it is. Or I think we're just really good at convincing each other of points. And maybe we're not so much worried about who actually wins and loses. We just like to watch it. I don't know.
I know, right?
Whatever. Heck of a concept. Just enjoy life.
Shocking.
Another Divas match real quick, and we'll just mention this real quick. You have Natalya.
Yes.
With the Funkadactyls in her corner.
For some reason, yes.
Versus Brie.
Yes, Brie Bella.
With
Nikki Bella.
Nikki and somebody.
And Eva Marie,
and
a.k.a.
Eva Marie.
The Wendy's girl.
Yeah.
I'm but here to make a name for myself.
This originally was supposed to be a match involving Maria Menudo.
Really?
Or something like that, I thought. And that match is still apparently going to happen at Access. Maria's going to get in the ring and wrestle or something, but it's not going to be on the pay-per-view.
Access's own Maria Menudo. Or Menendez? Wait,
whatever her name is.
Her.
Some chick.
Yeah.
Who's not a wrestler is going to get in there and goof off with the Divas and have a good time and everything.
Los Angeles, so why not?
So. But this is the match you have now, and we're mentioning it because it's on the card, but, you know.
That's about all we can really say.
Bella Twins are going to use twin magic somehow, and they're going to beat Natalya, and then they're going to make duck noises. Natalya's going to feel bad about herself, even though I'd rather spend a night with Natalya than the Bella Twins, because that's just me. Because she's a fine woman.
Well,
I would spend the night with any of them. But given the choice, I would go hang out with Natty first because I'm weird. And I'm the antithesis of a normal person, apparently.
Because
you're looking at me weird because I'm passing on a Bella. But
normal? Better. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I would take either Bella. But we're not here to talk about that, nor is that ever going to actually matter.
No.
This is a match.
This is a match. It's happening at the pay-per-view.
It's
the Bellas are
going
to win,
say.
And it's going to have something to do with Total Divas.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is your Total Divas match.
Because this pisses off everybody. The Bellas won again.
Yep.
Why do the Bellas always win?
And I can just hear Natty in the back crying, I trained them. Why am I not on the card? Why do I have to lose? Wah!
Yeah, so that's what we got to say about that.
Yeah.
We don't really care.
Not that we don't care. It's just that we don't care.
And finally...
Yes, finally, as I'm sure our listeners are saying.
We can shut up about Diva's action, and we can talk about the Ring of Fire match.
Not an Inferno match.
No.
Ring of Fire match.
As Michael Cole explained on Monday night, the ring will be surrounded by fire, not to set anyone on fire, but to keep others out. So basically, think about it. We don't want to do a steel cage match.
So we're going to make a steel cage match out of fire.
We're going to make a steel cage out of fire.
Which is way better when you say it out loud like that. I mean, that right there is a concept for a metal album if I've ever heard one. Fozzy, if you're listening.
Steel cage of fire?
Yep, there we go.
Oh, we better make sure when they do that we get some rights off of that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. This is a copyright, TM, trademark, Rigga Bobby.
Rigga Bobby. Game first or last. But... Even when so the pyrotechnicians of the WWE will closely monitor the fire to make sure no one's on fire and all this crap.
I'm pretty sure we'd be able to tell if somebody was on fire because at one point in the match, somebody will flail their arms like Kermit the Frog, screaming, "I'm on fire!" and way to just clip the fuck out of that dude. Wow,
I was on fire. You would clip out too if you were on fire. Anyway,
yeah, but maybe not on mic. We're trying to at least pretend we're professional.
Well, maybe we're not because I was on fire. I don't know. That was a bad person.
Yeah, being on fire will make you unprofessional.
Yeah, it will throw a wrench in your monkey, so to speak.
Yeah, and sorry for all those speakers we just blew.
Yeesh. Really interesting match here. The in-ring debut of Bray Wyatt.
Well, as he's Bray Wyatt.
As Bray Wyatt. So the in-ring debut of Bray Wyatt's character, not him
Husky,
Harris, Husky Harris.
Or whatever his first name is, Rotunda.
Yeah.
Like Wyndham Rotunda.
Wyndham Rotunda.
There we go, yeah.
His in-ring debut as this character, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a good match. Kane's a veteran, so a great guy to put him with for his first match. Wyndham Rotunda is supremely talented.
Insanely talented.
Insanely talented. Has done very well in NXT. And look for him to get the win here and look for Kane to make him look really, really good in his debut.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. I don't think they would spend 3 months building up this person to only have him get beaten by Kane in his first debut match, especially in a Ring of Fire match. I'm looking forward to seeing Bray Wyatt in the ring as Bray Wyatt do his thing. Hey, that rhymed there.
I'm looking forward just to see how this match works with the fire and everything. It's just intriguing, like...
All right, calm down, Beavis.
How, you know... Seriously, like, we have this fire, but we don't really want to set anybody on fire because it's the PG era and the kids can't handle seeing Kane actually burn his face off. Nor does Kane want to burn his face off because he wants to maybe be a politician.
Yeah, I might be able to vote for Kane in the future. That would be weird.
That would be cool. So... I'm interested just to see how this match flows, but then you also have, you know, the in-ring debut of Bray Wyatt. We should get a pretty good match in the middle of the card to keep things going.
And don't think just because we're kind of touching and glossing over this matchup that we're not excited for it. It's just what I'm really about with the Wyatt family is this atmosphere that they build. When they come to the ring, I mean, it's like the only person I can describe him to or compare him to is The Undertaker. When he comes out, he has that aura. The Wyatts have that, and they've only been coming out for, like, what, the past month?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Shield kind of had that when they'd first kind of show up, and they'd come in, and they just, like, run everybody over, and they were, like, establishing themselves. And I know the Shield's kind of cooled off recently, but they kind of had that where they were just in control. It wasn't about the match and having a five-star match. It was about...
Exactly.
It was about... asserting your power.
We don't get excited over the Wyatt family for doing five-star move matches. I mean, I've seen criticism of people online about Harper and what Owen? Oh yeah, Harper and Owen. Them being in the ring and people like
Harper and Rowan. It's Luke Rowan and something Harper. I think.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt.
The other two.
Bray Wyatt's
family. Yeah. I've seen people been critical of their in-ring work. It's like. But that's not they're not the type that are going to be doing, you know, what Jushin Thunder Liger is doing, or they're not going to be doing a Hoovy Splash. They're these big lumbering mountain-esque men who are coming they're coming down from the hills to take your stuff.
They're not Daniel Bryan. They're not CM Punk. They're not Dolph Ziggler. They're not technical wrestlers. They're ass kickers. They're here to f you up for a better lack of a better term.
Yes, just because they've been borrowing Daniel Bryan's facial hair and one of them is wearing a Daniel Bryan mask to the ring does not make them Daniel Bryan.
Of course, we have to wrap up here, but that does bring up another great point to talk about one day as we continue our hate on the IWC. I'd go ahead and go into this rant. We only have time. That they have this very particular thing they want, and that's all they want, and they can only see it for that. They can only see it for wrestling, is not entertainment.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that they would just lose sight of what the point of something as awesome as the Wyatt family is, because it's not wrestling. It's still real to me, damn it. Duh. All right, before we close up things here on this edition of Near Fall Radio, we've run through the card, and now we have a question for you that we want you, the Near Fall listener, to weigh in on. We want your input. We're calling it the question of the week.
That's right. You've heard what we have had to say about this card. Now we want you, the lovely listener, to let us know what you think about this card, particularly who's going to be our WWE champion on Sunday night. Now, your options are Daniel Bryan or the champion John Cena, or if you want to be a wild card, you could say Randy Orton. So I think Rab and I are both saying what we think Daniel Bryan's going to walk out with it.
I think that Daniel Bryan will leave SummerSlam the WWE champion. We both have picked him to win that match, although you seem to think that there's a possibility of a Randy, or you're rooting for a Randy Orton cash-in. So I think Daniel Bryan walks out the champion. What do you think, wrestling community universe? Head on over to Near Fall Radio on Twitter. We're at twitter.com/Near Fall Radio. Enter our question of the week. John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, who leaves Los Angeles as WWE champion? And speaking of Twitter, if you'd like to follow the host of Near Fall Radio, you can do that. Landon is on Twitter at Landoz.
L-A-N-D-O-Z. You are on Twitter at twitter.com/TheWillRab, and that's R-A-B-B.
And also, the Farm Club is on Twitter at The Farm Club. That is at The Farm Club for them on Twitter. Check that out, because that's one of the places that you can hear this fine podcast. It's also where Landon contributes his thoughts on the world of the WWE that we don't have time to get to on the on the program. And also, don't forget, of course, the founders of Near Fall Radio, Butt Munch Chips, where you can also check out Near Fall Radio to go back, check out all our archived episodes of Near Fall Radio. That is buttmunchchips.com.
We are going to be posting a rapid reaction this Sunday, maybe late Sunday night, early Monday morning. It will be up on Butt Munch Chips. Can't say when it's going to be up on the Farm Club, but it will be up soon. So maybe you want to remind yourself what to expect on a rapid reaction episode. So why don't you go check out the Money in the Bank one we posted last month.
Absolutely. We're going to do that for, I think, all the pay-per-views going forward.
Try to, anyway.
We both have work schedules. Have our thoughts right after the show. Kind of wrap things up for you in a timely manner and touch on the pay-per-view.
Yes.
While having to wait for the new storylines to develop within the WWE. We call it a near-fall rapid reaction, so we hope you'll check that out.
So for The Will Rab, I am A. Landon Doan, thanking you for downloading another episode of Near Fall Radio, appearing at buttmunchchips.com and thefarmclub.net. Thank you very much, and have a good night. The three of them fought in the rain. The world was completely insane. Sound the alarms, nuclear bombs. You're crazy, but I'm fucking nice. The proceeding was a Butt Munch Chips production. For more information as well as older episodes, please visit us online at buttmunchchips.com. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch.